Hour number two of the weekend huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Had a great hour one. Hopefully, we fixed some of your fandom problems. I need to get that book published, because some of you are doing it wrong, and Parker Kelly is the ringleader in that. As we do every week here on the Weekend Huddle for hour number two, we react to our poll results. We put out a poll question every week. You all go vote for it, and we decide a winner and have a little bit of a healthy debate on it. So our question this week, let's say the Preds decide to bring back one jersey from the past as their third alternate sweater. Which one should it be? Your options were the 2021 reverse retro alternates, which is basically a spin on the original home jerseys, except gold with a navy hat, and it looked awesome. The 2003 mustard cat alternates, they kind of redid this in 2022 with those retro reverses, just with the current shade of gold.
Correct.
The 1998 original home navy jerseys, which are an all-time classic, chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2010 navy alternates, which were navy, had some black piping and black checkers on it with the red predator eye. The results are in. 38.6% of you voted for the 2010 navy alts. They win the poll, just barely beating the 1998 original home jerseys with 36.4%. The other percentage of you, 15.9, voted for the 2003 mustard cats, and 9.1 voted for the 2021 retro reverse. And let me tell you something. I don't like the 2010 navy alternates.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you there, Connor.
They look too much like the Tampa Bay Lightning to me.
Yeah, the checkered, you mentioned in the break, the checkered one, I don't know if I like the checkered piping. It has too much of like a Tennessee Vols, like you're trying to include everybody. Tennessee Vols mixed with the Preds, mixed with, you know, like you just mentioned, it's just the piping for me, I'm with you. I'm not a fan of the 2010s. I was in the camp of the 98 Navy Classics.
That's probably where I would go.
Yeah.
Because I think we need a little bit of Navy in our lives, and there are teams across the league that do the throwbacks. Like Carolina throws it back to the Hartford Whalers with the green and blue, and it looks awesome. There are some others. Vancouver, they wear the black and gold. Not really their current colors, but it looks good. There are other teams as well. I think the Predators need a little bit of Navy in their lives in that third jersey, because you and I were talking about this a little bit during the break. The gold is it's the standard around here, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
It's a unique color scheme. The primary gold mixed with the Navy. No other team in the NHL has a color scheme like that, and I think the Predators exercise that well. However, throwing it back to the Navy for a third alternate jersey not only showcases your colorway a little bit more, it also kind of ties things back to history. It kind of ties back to where this franchise was. When we started, we were all Navy. Navy on the at home, white on the road with Navy in it. Now it's gold at home and white with gold on the road. I think I would like a little tie back to the franchise's history as we're approaching almost 30 years of this franchise's existence.
I agree. I mean, looking at the numbers from our poll there, Connor, we obviously know 75% of the voters want a Navy jersey.
Yeah.
Like, we all know that. 38 here, 36 here. Like, we get all that. 75% of them wanted, and there's a little 0.4 and 0.6 in there, so that's why it rounds up. But that's simply it. Give us a nice Navy jersey, and to me, I think a good combination would be like the Nashville Predators primary logo on the front.
Yeah.
You do a Navy jersey that kind of, let's see if I can pull it up. There's a concept here that I like, and I'll pull it up. Let's see. Is it big enough? There we go. It's the one on the bottom left there, Connor.
Oh, yeah. The old...
Yeah, it's like the shoulder patch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shoulder patch of like the Predator skull.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd be okay with that one. Actually, I'd prefer that one. but I'd like the skate cat on there too.
Yeah.
Kind of like what they, that's what I wanted them to do a couple years ago when they were doing the mustard cat revision, but do that on Navy. And the Predators recently have tried to do Navy. Do you remember the stadium series that they did?
I was okay with it.
It said Smashville on it.
I was okay with it.
It wasn't my favorite. I think, I don't really like when, this is weird, hockey jerseys have words on them.
Uh-huh.
Unless it makes sense. Like, yeah. Carolina's away, or they used to at least, they have Canes slanted down,
mm-hmm.
and I think it looks good. But in a hockey perspective, I really like when it's just a logo, because I think that's where it looks best.
I agree. I'm in the camp of the Cotton Bowl when the Preds played the Stars. I liked those jerseys.
Oh, yes.
I was a fan of those.
Yeah, the Winter Classics.
Yes.
Those were beautiful. Those, I wouldn't want those as a third jersey because they're white.
Right.
And I don't like when hockey teams wear white at home, and they don't usually.
It's not football.
It's not football. I don't like when football wears white at home. It's not basketball. Basketball is the only sport I'm okay with teams wearing white at home because that's tradition. But I think we need a little bit of Navy in our lives.
Yeah.
And I think 75% of you would tend to agree with us.
I'd agree. And I don't know, maybe bring back a little bit of the yellow piping. Like, that's why I brought the 98 one. That's why I voted for it. Because it has a little bit of everything. The gold. And
yep.
The gold piping.
That's why
jersey.
I love it.
Yeah. You have the silver, and then obviously you have the Navy. And you have the original logo. It's just perfect.
Yeah. No, it's perfect. It still looks good today. I'll still throw one out every once in a while if I'm going to a game. Because I've inherited one from the inaugural season.
Right.
So, still have it. Still wear it. It's really a really nice jersey, and I'd like to see it come back.
Preds fans and Preds front office, you know where to go with this. Bring it back.
How do you feel about the 2021 ones? It was a revision of the original ones.
Like, I get the concept. They should have used it a little bit more. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
I think the NHL has to loosen up on their jersey requirements and allowing things to work and not work. I think they were fine. I didn't mind them one bit.
I loved them.
It works out well with the current, I guess, design, with the whole color outline, all the above, color palette. But yet, bring back the Navy.
Yeah, we need Navy in our lives.
Yeah.
It's just a change of scenery.
Like, the Preds could easily do a Canadian tuxedo-like aspect of it, where it's all denim. I'm not saying do a denim jersey.
Kentucky's doing a denim jersey this year.
Are they really?
Yeah. Basketball. Not super thrilled, but, you know.
Denim. The bluegrass state.
Yeah, but I don't want to wear jeans.
Hey, you never know. You just have to put on a little extra baby powder so you don't get a
gold
rash.
Bond.
Yeah.
Get out the gold bond. You're going to be chafing out there. Go on, boys. Have yourselves a game. Yeah, but can you imagine a denim hockey jersey?
It'd be warm.
You wouldn't be cold?
Nah.
We're going to wear flannel tonight out at Bridgestone Arena.
Lumberjacks. The Nashville Lumberjacks. Could you imagine?
That's the new expansion.
Yeah.
That's the MLB expansion. That's what we're going to get.
Just had a great idea.
Yeah, there you go.
Savannah Bananas on ice.
Oh, God.
So we'd have a hockey version of the Savannah Bananas. Call them the Nashville Lumberjacks.
Oh, my God. I think I would vomit if we saw another iteration of the Savannah Bananas.
They announced their tour dates for next year.
That's great.
Did you guys see that?
I don't know.
I refuse to look at their tour dates because I think they're a...
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them.
We've already had this discussion.
Yep. Yes, we have.
Continuing.
Yes, we have. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to chime in on the conversation. Coming up next, we'll get into a little bit more of Predators hockey. We'll talk a little bit about it. If the Preds can get a fast start, and I predicted yesterday on Next Man Up with Jake Lyman, I think they're going to go 3-0 by the end of the day on Monday. If they get out to a fast start, does that put the Andrew Brunette hot seat to bed? That's coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to that conversation next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back. Nothing says Preds hockey like a little bit of SEC on CBS music. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you, talking a little bit of Preds hockey. Weekend Huddle brought to you by LPL Financial, Nashville, and Patrick Conger. Wealth management advice for you, no matter your current situation or stage in life. So, Frazier, the Predators are on pace to have a historical season in the NHL. They are on pace to win 82 games currently. If the season ended today, the Predators would be the one seed in the Western Conference at 1-0. No, but in all seriousness, it was a gritty win for them on Thursday in the opener against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They win 2-1 in sort of crawl-back fashion. I think that will give them a little bit of momentum. They have the monkey off their back for the first game of the season. I think I saw a stat the other day that this is the 10th year in a row the Nashville Predators have come away with at least 1 point in the opening game of the season. So, they are in action tonight again at Bridgestone Arena for the first Saturday night in Smashville against the Utah Mammoth in a prehistoric mascot battle.
Ice Age game, baby.
The Ice Age game. Do you think they can carry this momentum against the Mammoth? And even beyond that, if they get off to a hot start, maybe go on a nice little win streak here. What do you think that does for the Andrew Brunette hot seat narrative?
I think it cools it off tremendously. And all this fan base really wants is to see wins. I think everybody's just, I don't want to say fatigued, but they understand that this roster has the intangibles to go all the way. On paper, that is. Now, you have to show it up on the ice. I think on the ice, this team has finally figured it out a little bit, in my opinion, from last season on to now. Excuse me,
pull
Joe
Rexroth
there.
There you go.
It's just this team, it seems like there's a different vibe. And listening to Robbie Stanley when he was on with Chase McJoe yesterday, he said, like you said, it was a gritty win. But there's just something about this team that, to me, has gone over the hump, if that makes sense. I think adding Brady Martin to the first line, I don't know if he'll be up there past the 9-10 game threshold they're trying to hold him under, if
right.
That's the case, so they don't waste a year on his contract. For me, keep him out there for 5 games, see if the chemistry really gels, because if the Preds want to be successful this year, that first line has to produce early and often. That's just me.
Yeah.
I think if you have the first line that produces early and often, like Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Martin, that's what you really need to catapult this lineup going forward. Adding Luke Evangelista back into the mix, I don't know if it's tonight or not, but
yeah,
he has.
But he's clear.
He's clear. He has his work visa, so we'll see how that plays out as well. I don't know. This is a team that we all know what they can do. It's just a matter of if they can just put it all together, and I think they can.
Yeah, I think you're right. They have all the intangibles to be a playoff team this year. That was sort of the problem last year, right? They had all the talent. They had the veteran presence, adding Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault and Brady Shea. They just couldn't piece it together.
Right.
It looked to me on Monday that healthy mix of what I've kind of been hammering home on this team of you have veterans and young guys on a line together, it looked like that is kind of paying off, right?
Right.
Now, it's worth noting Brady Martin played about 7 minutes in the first period, which is a long time. Then got about 7 minutes throughout the remainder of the game. So they substituted Steven Stamkos in his place on that line. So your front line was Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, and Philip Forsberg, which is just an effective line at that. But I think you're right. If Brady Martin can be the driving force of this team to get off to a hot start, that cools a lot off. That cools off Barry Trotz. That cools off Andrew Brunette. That cools off any negativity going on in the locker room. I don't think there's a lot of that right now, based on what I heard. Tyson Jost came on the postgame show a couple days ago and said they were blasting music the whole time down in the locker room, singing along. And you've seen the videos, of course, of them in the huddle. And I think they have a new motorcycle helmet that they're given the
green one, right, with the green little mohawk on.
Yep.
It? Yeah.
Yep. And I think they have a paddle because they got a.
Row the boat.
They got to row the boat.
Who's going to row the boats? David Goggins.
There you go.
No, just to your point there on that, I'm intrigued to see if Stamkos actually stays out wide instead of playing in the center.
I don't think he wants to play center.
No, but like you just mentioned, like near the latter end of the game on Thursday, he kind of substituted onto that first line. And
he did. O'Reilly was taking draws.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. So it's a little bit of a rotational mix there. I don't know. You bring in, you know, some guys this past offseason in Perbix and Hague, and you want to see if that actually mixes and gels well.
Yeah. Perbix played a great game.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we didn't talk about him.
Hey, there you go.
It's like an offensive lineman. In hockey, if you're not talking about the defenseman making a mistake, chances are they probably play a solid game of hockey. So,
yeah. What would you like to see out of this Preds team going forward?
I want to see young guys start to take the next step.
Okay.
Luke Evangelista in particular, I know he hasn't gotten in there yet, but I want to see him kind of look to take that next step as a pivotal piece of the puzzle moving forward in this franchise. Because look, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, are veterans. As much as we love them, they're not going to be around here forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm looking for Brady Martin and Luke Evangelista and Joachim Kimmel and guys like Fedor Svechkov. Guys need to take the next step and sort of show that they can contribute to a team with this much talent on the roster. And look, I don't think that the Predators are, you know, world beaters in the Western Conference. I think they have the potential to go on and make the playoff and maybe make a run if they get hot at the right time. But I think right now, it's about starting off the season right, starting off the season hot, because what happened last year was they had a rough start, got in their own heads, and then by Christmas, they were out of it.
Yeah.
So I think it's avoiding that this year.
It's crazy how an 82-game season, you're 0-5 to start out, and you're just like, oh, wow, you're already behind the eight ball a little bit. It's kind of weird to think about that, you know?
Yeah.
Because you just start, but yet, wait a minute. Yeah, well, we need to start winning some games. So for the Preds, yeah, 1-0, not too shabby. Like you said, on track to go undefeated.
They are currently number one in the West.
I want to ask you before we go to break about Spencer Stasny. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I didn't get to see all the game Thursday because I was at the high school game, Hillsborough versus Lawson. What did Stasny look like to you if you had a chance to see him on the screen?
Kind of similar to Perbix in a way. He's playing on that last pair. He's paired up with Justin Barron. So I think among the D pairs, they were probably the most noticeable as far as mistakes that were made. But I think they're going to be an effective D pair. I like Justin Barron. I think he is they clearly love him as well. I think he's going to be maybe not the best defenseman they've ever seen, but I think he's going to be a serviceable guy for them in
scrappy.
The future. Yeah, he's scrappy. And Spencer, honestly, it was just nice to see him back out there again. His story this offseason is one that I think resonates with me and resonates with a lot of people as he, you know, battled depression and anxiety and came out about that. He says he's filled out his NHL retirement papers and then tossed them and realized he wanted to play. So I'm just happy to see him out there and healthy and happy. But he did look like a serviceable defenseman, and I'm happy for him because I think if there's one defenseman I'm going to put a lot of stock into moving forward, it's probably him. Yeah. He's young enough and he's able to soak up enough and be a sponge to learn. So I thought he looked good, to answer your question.
Well, good. I like to hear that. You want to make sure that, like you mentioned at the start of this segment, the young guys, you want to see them develop. And I think that's the primary reason the Preds are going to have a lot of success this year is because those young guys are going to compensate for the open ice that's lost with the vets.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you've got a comment about the Nashville Predators. Again, they are in action tonight down at Bridgestone Arena taking on the Utah Mammoth in what I think we should bill as like the Ice Age rivalry or something like that. The Mammoth and the Predators, a couple of prehistoric mammals, if you will. Pre-game will be at 6 o'clock with Max Herz and, of course, Puck Drop at 7 with our good friends Pete Weber and Jay Moore on the call. By the way, you know Max calls me Conhead, right?
Oh, yeah.
The nickname has caught on, and Pete Weber is now doing it. So,
oh, boy.
I think Big Joe might be a little bit jealous hearing that, but the nickname is sticking.
Man, you got a lot of nicknames. The Conhead, the Rifleman.
The Rifleman hasn't caught on.
It should. Congressman. Speaker of the House.
I liked Speaker, but no one got it, so Joe went away from it.
Yeah.
But I think more people would understand Speaker than Rifleman, because I didn't really understand that one.
Rifleman's good.
But it's good.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit of college football, as we got some big matchups throughout the day. Of course, the game of the day, Oregon and Indiana, but Alabama headed down to Como to take on Mizzou, and Tennessee, of course, hosting Arkansas. We'll break those down coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you, talking a little bit of college football. This is Madden music right here. That's where I get this from. Big matchups today. Of course, the game of the week. Game day is there right now in Eugene, Oregon, and I'm representing them very well today, as I love that duck. Oregon taking on Indiana. Oregon, I believe, favored by 7.5, which may be a little bit high, if you ask me. But Eugene's a tough place to play. This may be one of the best Oregon teams we've seen in a long, long time. Frazier, do you think Indiana has what it takes to take down the Ducks?
I think they have what it takes to put up 20 points, but no, I don't think the Ducks lose tonight. It's just, they're one of my preseason darlings. I think between Jake, myself, you, we all did our little preseason votes for college football. My G5 school to make it in was UNLV. They're still undefeated. The team to win it all for me was Oregon. So this is just
Ducks.
The Ducks. I'm not trying to base all my preseason predictions off this, but the Ducks are really good under Dante Moore at quarterback. They seem to be hitting on all cylinders. They're not like the Oregons of the past where they can throw up, you know, 50, 60 points on a top 25 team. I mean, they have the intangibles to do so, but they're not going to do that consistently. Dan Lanning can really just change the pace of a game at the snap of a finger, and I think that's their secret weapon, is they can just do whatever with opponents. And that's something that you don't see in modern-day college football as often. I've been holding back in saying this, but I think Oregon is on pace to kind of be the new dynasty of college football.
I guaranteed yesterday that Oregon is going to win a national championship in the next 5 years.
Agreed.
I think they've got recruiting out west on locks, because where else are those recruits going to go? USC? USC, I guess, would be number two. It's Puddles. It's unleashing silly string on Desmond Howard.
Well, no, Puddles really unleashed it on Pete Thamel, and then I think Desmond Howard came back and got Puddles.
Is that an Oregon thing that I'm missing out on?
I don't know. I think that's just the duck being the duck.
It's the duck. Well, Pete Thamel, credit to him for staying locked in on whatever segment he was doing. So that's commitment to the business. But sorry, Puddles just distracted me from the conversation.
It's all right.
Oregon, I think, has everything going for them. People won't talk about this a lot, but you know what one of their, other than the NIL money, you know what one of their biggest selling points is?
The check.
The uniforms.
That's what I'm saying, the check, the Nike check,
Yep. That these recruits see all the flash, and they're like, I want to be a part of that. So Dan Lanning, I think, is the absolute perfect coach for that program. I think he was always going to be a head coach coming out of Georgia as the DC. Now that he is one, I don't think he should ever leave that program. Mm-hmm. They have all the NIL money in the world from the Nike. They have all the recruiting assets and resources they could need. They have all the uniforms. They have a beautiful color scheme. And they're a good football team on a year-to-year basis. So as far as this game today, I think it's going to be similar to Vanderbilt and Alabama last week. And it's close for a little bit. And then I think overall talent for Oregon just starts to pull away. Jake and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. There are probably three teams in the nation right now, I think you could safely say, are locks to make the college football playoff. Ohio State, Miami, Oregon. Mm-hmm. I think those are the three. I don't think you can pin that on anyone in the SEC right now, simply because of the depth of that conference, how hard it is, and really there hasn't been anyone to just emerge from the SEC yet.
I got one, and I think it's going to take a little bit more time, but I'm still very high on Texas A&M. I think they will make the playoff.
again, when it comes down to Texas, Texas A&M rivalry game, I think A&M takes away with that just because Texas looks vulnerable this year. And I'm not trying to get through the weeds about this, but A&M is a strong suit in the SEC. I think we're seeing Georgia and the Alabamas, they all have one loss, but at the same time, there's just not quite there. Yeah, Alabama has been catching stride the last couple weeks, but Ty Simpson's looks really good. You got to give more credit to A&M. They are quietly putting together a really good resume this season.
I really like A&M. The problem I have with A&M is kind of the problem I have with some of the other teams in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I would put them in that second tier of teams that I think are really good, but are going to kind of have to battle each other to get that last play, or not last, but get a playoff spot for the SEC.
Right.
If I were to pick a team to come out of the SEC right now, probably Alabama.
That's fair.
They have a lot of talent. Tyesman is playing his best football
That's
right
good.
Now. Tyesman. Yeah, you like that? Ty Simpson is playing on a Heisman quarterback level right now. You saw that last week against Vanderbilt. He doesn't make mistakes. And when he does, he'll burn you on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
He's incredible. They have a big game today as they head to Como to take on Missouri. They're only 4.5-point favorites, I believe. Do we think Missouri is legit, or is it just a product of their schedule?
I think it's a product of their schedule. I mean, it's just weird rolling off the tongue that Missouri, good at football? What? I thought they were a basketball school. Wait, I thought they were a softball school. No, they're putting together a good resume. I think what Drinkwitz is doing over there is just good for the program in general. I think NIL has really helped them out overall this season and previous season as well. They got the backup quarterback from Penn State.
Bo Prabula.
Yeah, Bo Prabula. Thank you. He's a dual threat quarterback I think you have to keep your eyes on. Not generational, but yet somebody that can really damage a defense for sure. You look at Alabama and, like you said, Ty Simpson. That's going to be a true test. And I'm sticking to the same key that's been on the Bama Crimson Tide since week one. And they showed up against Vanderbilt when you play from behind. I want to see if they go from behind against Missouri. Maybe they have a hiccup today. I don't know. But that's something to look into.
I think it's going to be a road test for them. Not that Missouri is a super tough environment to play in. But it's an SEC road environment. Nothing is, you know, promised on a given Saturday, but I think Alabama's starting to figure it out, especially if Kalen DeBoer wears the black hoodie, because I think he's undefeated in that. I think he's like 11-0 when wearing the black hoodie. Yeah, but he only rolls it out for big games, so watch out Tennessee next week. But I think they roll in and take out the Tigers.
I think where Missouri could win this game is on the defensive offensive line in the trenches.
Yeah.
I was seeing something the other day. Ahmad Hardy is averaging like 140-something yards per game on the ground. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, you mentioned that they're 6-0 because it's a product of their schedule. Well, you know, if you want to be in the cream of the crop of the SEC, this is the game where you gotta go out and prove it.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule, they played Central Arkansas, put up 60 points. Kansas put up 42. Louisiana, they put up 52. South Carolina, that's the one thing that I'm intrigued about. They only beat South Carolina by 9 points, and Vandy's over here blowing them out. That's just something to keep your eye on.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's those bigger conference games they have to play tight games
too. I think you got to, no disrespect to Vandy, but I think you got to factor in that South Carolina played a full game with their starting quarterback against Missouri.
It's true.
And Vanderbilt, obviously, they came in and dominated that game, but a majority of it was without Lenora Sellers. So I think that definitely plays a factor into things. Another big matchup, arguably the biggest matchup in the SEC today, the Red River rivalry going on in the Cotton Bowl between Texas and Oklahoma. Looks like John Mateer for Oklahoma is going to play.
Good.
So I don't know if that sways your opinion on this. Brandon and I kind of talked about this a little bit last night. Texas has started off slow against Ohio State and has just not really looked any better than that. They're putting up big wins over the lesser teams. Like, I believe they played UTEP and Sam Houston and San Jose State as their other non-conference games. Those are games that powerhouse Texas should probably win. But ever since, I mean, they got blown out last week by Florida. They're being figured out, and some of that is Arch Manning has not looked good. That said, it's a rivalry game. You know what they say about rivalry games. Throw the record books away. Does Texas bounce back and take out rival Oklahoma today?
I don't think so. I'm out on Texas. I know that sounds crazy, like we're talking already. I am now out on Texas. I think if they keep forcing Arch Manning in the pocket, like forcing him to play for Texas as their starting quarterback, their backup's better. We've seen it. I mean, in few accounts, we've seen that quarterback throw some good balls. It's just to the point where Texas is struggling, and the fact they have to now game plan for John Mateer, that's a big issue.
They were very smart in that they said, yeah, we don't know if he's going to play. And I think last night it came out, John Mateer is probably going to play. What does that mean? That means Texas has been game planning for not one, but two quarterbacks.
Yep. And with a team that's in shambles right now, having to prep for two quarterbacks, it's definitely going to be a concern.
Absolutely. Last game to talk about here before we go to the break. Tennessee hosting Arkansas. Tennessee coming off of the bye week. Arkansas as well with their first game with new head coach, interim head coach, Bobby Petrino. I don't know about you, and maybe it's that kind of thing we both get where you get that feeling in your stomach. It means you're either hungry or something big is about to happen.
Something's brewing.
I think this is going to be a blowout in favor of the Vols.
Really?
Yes.
I have a trap game feeling on this.
I don't get that today.
You don't?
Josh Heupel has been very good coming out of the bye. He typically doesn't lose to teams 2 years in a row. And quite frankly, I just don't think Arkansas is very good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just think it's going to be a very close game. I don't think it's going to be a blow your socks off type thing. This is, don't get me wrong, Arkansas, bad team, but I don't know, dude. There's just something about this game. It's a murky water situation.
I mean, I could see it. You know, they got Alabama next week. Maybe they're looking forward to that one, and Arkansas comes in and shocks the world. But I just don't think Petrino has had enough time to gel with the team as a head coach. I really like Taylen Green, the quarterback for Arkansas. But
he's good with his legs.
He is good with his legs. But I think the Tennessee defensive front is good at containing guys like that. I mean, look at what they did to Gunnar Stockton. Not that they won that game, but they did a good job of containing him from running. I think this is just going to be a game where Tennessee comes in and rolls and gets some momentum heading in to Tuscaloosa next week. That's just me. But it should be interesting to watch. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for your texts and phone calls as we get one final segment. Coming up next, it's his last day. So, with that said, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman are going to go head-to-head. I'm going to moderate some Where Are They Now between them. And we say goodbye to our good friend Jake Wallman. That's all coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game. One final segment here on Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman here with you. And as we finish out our final program with our good friend Jake Wallman, as he's off to new adventures, we will play one last game of Where Are They Now with him. Now, I think we're all familiar with the rules, but just to reiterate, five players, first three are in North America. That's the USA, Canada, and Mexico. The final two can be anywhere in the world. It's 2 points for the official, 1 point for the official country / league. 2 points if you can get the specific team. In the event of a tie, I'll give you a career path of a player from a respective sport. Your job is to tell me who that player is. Are we ready?
Let's do this thing.
Jake Wallman, ready?
We're ready. I got to put my undefeated record.
Yes, you are.
Today.
You are 1-0 all time. Can he get out of here with a win? We begin with a former Tennessee Volunteer, maybe one of the worst cornerbacks in the history of Tennessee football, until he all of a sudden wasn't. Where is Kamal Haddon? Jake Wallman.
I believe I'm going to go with the NFL, and he is with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, Jake Wallman going with the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick Frazier.
I'm going Canadian Football League, Montreal Alouettes.
He is in the NFL.
Okay.
So that is a point for Jake Wallman. He is on the Green Bay Packers.
I think he got drafted by the Chiefs.
Yes, I believe you're right.
He'll forever be remembered for trying to fight at the end of the Florida game in 2023.
With helmets on.
Yes.
So Jake Wallman, already up 1-0. Another SEC legend at number two. Maybe the greatest kicker in the history of SEC football. The funniest looking of all time as well. Former Georgia Bulldog, former Indianapolis Colt, Hot Rod, Rodrigo Blankenship. Nick Frazier, you go first.
UFL, St. Louis Battlehawks.
Jake Wallman.
I'm also going to go with the UFL and say the Michigan Panthers.
Ding, ding, ding. Nick Frazier, he is in the UFL for the St. Louis Battlehawks. So Jake Wallman still gets a point. It is 3-2 off the three-run homer right there.
Don't I get 3 points because I got it dead on?
I thought it was two. You only get 2 points.
No, well, you got the league, too.
Yeah.
So it's 3-2.
I thought you just mentioned in the rules that it was 2 points.
It's 1 point for one right, point for league, 2 points for team. You got the specific team.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Hey, Jake Wallman.
Hey. Keep it easy there.
Sorry. Just saying hey.
Former Atlanta Brave, former World Series MVP in 2021, where is outfielder Jorge Soler? Jake Wallman.
I'm going to go with the... I'm working on our theme music as well. I'm going to go with the... He's in the minor leagues for the... San Francisco Giants.
All right, my triple.
I think they're the Reno Aces.
Okay,
or the 57s. I'm not sure.
Reno Aces. Nick Frazier.
Going with MLB team still, Miami Marlins.
He is in the MLB. He's playing for the Los Angeles Angels.
All right, should have got that.
The lead extended now
4-2
to 2 for Nick Frazier. We now move to the out of North America portion of the competition. Nick Frazier leads 4-2. Former Tennessee basketball player and a guy that kind of got on my nerves when he played there, Jordan Bone.
Former Innsworth Tiger.
Yes, Nashville's very own Jordan Bone. Where is Jordan Bone playing today?
Last that I knew that Jordan Bone was playing in the NBA for the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to go with... He's playing in the German Basketball League for the German Schnitzels.
The German Schnitzels.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Team name.
Jake Wallman. Where is Jordan Bone?
I'm going to go with the only international team that I know, the Guangdong Tigers.
Old Faithful. He is playing in Nick Frazier's homeland. He's playing in Italy.
Really?
For a team that sounds like an Italian dessert, Vinoli Cremona.
Cremonese. Okay, yeah.
Cremonese?
Yeah. The area, it's Cremonese. Cremona. Okay. Cremonese.
Okay. Regardless.
Cremonese.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got to do with the hand thing.
Boston Cremonese. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. It does sound like a dessert. It sounds like a nice little cannoli.
Yeah.
I'd go for a cannoli.
I mean, that's everything in Italy. You walk down the street and you're getting ricotta cheese falling from the sky.
So Nick Frazier leading 4-2. Jake Wallman needs every bit of this last one if we want to send him out of here with a win and an undefeated record in Where Are They Now? Former Nashville Predator.
Yeah, I'm not getting this.
You got it.
Igor Afanasyev, former winger for the Predators. He was just here a couple years ago.
I'm going to go, he's playing in Russia for the St. Petersburg Russians.
I've made this mistake before.
Oh, yes.
When I said he plays in Russia, there's like multiple leagues. So just put that out. I'm going KHL.
Okay.
Not sure what team, but I'm going KHL.
I would have accepted both.
Oh.
He is in Russia playing for the KHL. For CSK Moscow.
Oh, so we both get a point.
So you both get a point that cuts the lead. Or
it's over.
It's over. It's 5-3. Cookies, onions.
What is what's the term? Chalked.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say chopped. That's kind of a
chalked.
That's kind of a term we don't really need to use right now.
Aura farming.
Or as the kids say these days. Well, if we could, it's been an absolute pleasure with you, Jake Wallman. You've been our guy for the last almost year and a half, really.
Yeah. Came in last May.
Yeah.
Right after the show got started, actually.
Yep.
So
yeah, you did.
I kind of came in when you guys were getting started, and Connor Newt was actually sitting behind the board.
We've all grown up a little bit, and you've done a lot of growing. You've done a lot of maturing. Not that you were this immature slob when you got here. But
depends on who you ask.
But we're going to miss you, buddy. It's been a pleasure. We hope to see you soon, and don't ever be a stranger.
Yeah.
The door is always open.
I'll peruse the text lines, both private and public.
There you go. Yeah, okay. You're always welcome back here. We'll always open that door for you.
And who knows? You know, you got to, you know, don't let the embers go out. Don't let the fire go out. Just keep it in an ember. And who knows? Hopefully, Chase, if you're listening.
He's probably not. He's probably
that's true.
Doing something else. But
if he does hear this, hopefully the door is always open for a possible return someday.
There you go.
This is like wrestling. You can always come home.
The wise words of Wallman.
Yes.
There you go. Now, Wallman, we're going to miss you, man. You've done a really good job here. Keeping things at a float in some aspects, but your maturity behind the board as an executive producer of this show, you've done a really good job, and appreciate your friendship as well. You've been a great friend to all of us, and obviously bringing in donuts from time to time, and just make sure you're studying up on your lacrosse. All right.
Yeah, I've actually been meaning to catch some lacrosse games.
Yep. Just remember that, and that if anybody calls and they ask about if Willie's working on the weekends, it just not he's not
no
here.
He's not no. He does not work on the weekends,
folks. It's an inside joke. If you're listening, it's a funny thing. It's a long story, not going to get into it.
Stay cute.
Yeah, stay cute, Jay Wallman.
Stay
Jake
cute.
Wallman.
Also know that your information is currently located on the 94.9 The Fan website.
Yes.
So
if anybody needs to reach me post radio days, just give me a call.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Wallman.
Yeah.
You're a huge contributor to this show.
I don't think people understand. You know it, and I know it. And now we see it through him, how difficult this job is.
Yep.
It is really something that goes very underappreciated. It is hard coming on here, you and I talking every Saturday. It's even harder to manage whatever shenanigans we throw his way. So
clips, tweeting,
clips,
all the above.
Yeah, it's a multi-purpose job. And you have handled it astronomically. So we thank you for that. We're going to miss you. We love you. We can't wait to see what's next for you.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. I remember when I was in need of something in 2024 after something fell through. Mm. And I was sitting on my couch one day, and I thought, I wonder about 102.5 The Game.
Yeah.
And I emailed Chase on a whim, and he was like, he was 100% open to, I think we did a phone interview like that day, like 20 minutes after I emailed him. And then I came in, sat down with him for about 20 minutes, and we talked, and the rest is history. And, thank you for giving me a shot. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Bud and Sean Fort for, always popping in and just kind of seeing if things were going okay. And, I really appreciate everybody here at the station being open to questions. And, that's one thing I think in my career that, if you want to learn something, I go by the rule that there is no bad question.
Yep.
So.
And that's a good mentality to have. Never be afraid to ask questions. Also, always the part of the reason I did the fan thing today was because you're one of the biggest Vols guys I know. So don't get into any fights or anything.
No.
While you're out there.
I don't know if I've shared a story with you boys, but I'll share it off the air after we wrap up.
Wonderful.
We won't be there to save you next time, so don't get into any heated debates. That'll do it for us here on the Weekend Huddle. For Jake Wallman, for Nick Frazier, I'm Connor Newt saying so long. Stick around. We got some football coming up. And, of course, tonight, the Nashville Predators in action against the Utah Mammoth. pregame at 6 with Max Herz, and puck drop at 7 p.m. with the great Pete Weber and Jay Moore on the call. For all of us, we say goodbye, and we'll see you next week here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.
See ya!